them to meet the ransom throne. So get ready for that day that won't be very long.
It won't be. I won't be very long either. As soon as I get hooked up here, sounds like it's working. Praise the Lord. We're delighted that God has watched over us and brought us back to this place, brought us back here to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's amazing what God offers and what He requires. From the human perspective, really, it's not a whole lot. And He blesses us to be able to do what He requires of us. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Beginning with verse 25. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, Jesus. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, and he gives an illustration which you're very familiar with, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, what he started, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and he was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. There is no failure in God. There is no failure in God. We see in this text the pressure of unfinished chores. One of the most insistent pressures in life is unfinished chores. Hardly do we embark on some project before some meddling voice comes along and began to ask, Do you think you can bring it off? Do you think you will ever finish? Let us notice the substance of these two illustrations. There is a man who had a building. There is a man who had a building on his mind. He apparently had an elaborate building that he wanted to build. And perhaps he had some wealth. He started on his project. But something happened along the way. And whatever it was, it did not permit him to finish. Maybe there was a crop failure. Maybe there was an economy downturn. Jesus gives us the illustration, but he doesn't give us the why the man was unable to finish. Why he did not have enough to finish. But at any rate, Jesus says he was not able to finish it. And crowds came along mocking him, making fun of him. How he handled it, we don't know. And then secondly, in verse 31, he gives an illustration of a king. There is a king who has big ideas. Big ideas about going to war against another king. He has 10,000. The king that he is going to contemplating going to war against has 20,000. Twice as many soldiers as he does. Will he not count the cost? Will he not check it out? Will he not sit down and try to determine how he can be successful against the other king that has twice as many soldiers as he has? Or, if not that, send an ambassador to negotiate a peace with him. Now then, the meaning in both illustrations, is rather clear. But what points is Jesus endeavoring to make by sharing with us these two events? One of the points that Jesus is making is that there will be challenges of dire straits in following me. It may even cost your life. I want you to count the cost. Jesus is not saying don't come. But to those who do come, he wants you to know what you're coming to. He wants you to understand, have a clear understanding of what following me is all about. You're welcome to come. He wants you to know what you're coming to ahead of time. Following me is not a cakewalk. He wants his followers to come follow him, but know and be prepared for any type of circumstance that may arise in following me. Recognize. It takes a strong determination. It takes a strong heart. So I want you to recognize the challenge that you are about to assume before your assumption. Count the cost. Recognize, be aware of, and don't forget it, who it is that you're talking about following. It cost Jesus to make his travel. It cost Jesus his life to make his move. I want you to follow me, but I want you to understand there is a price. There is a cost involved in following me. Amen. The Son of God, living in this whole wide wicked world, yes, he has come on a mission. Yes, there is danger involved. There is challenge, there is difficulty, and maybe even death. But I want you to come, if you're going to follow me, it's going to require you to make up your mind that you're willing to give all that it takes to follow me. Why, Jesus? There is no failure. There can be no failure in following me. I have come to do my Father's will, and I don't plan to fail. Are you listening? Let us look at the story from another point of view. Let us see if it is a story about God. Jesus is en route at this time. He's en route to Jerusalem for the very last time. Jesus knew that he was not far removed from his cross. He was not far removed from that moment that would test not only him, but any one of his followers. He is moving forward, irrespective of the consequences, because that had already been taken into consideration even before he came to earth. The time has come. The moment has arrived. And I'm not backing up. He is moving forward without hesitation. He's moving forward without reservation. Jesus wants his disciples. Jesus wants his disciples, and especially his chosen apostles. He wants them to understand that what God has begun, God can finish. What I have come to do, I can do it depending upon my Father. Make up your mind. He wants his followers, he wants his disciples to understand what's happening. No question about it. My popularity is waning. Yes, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. But without hesitation, remember my question. Which of you? None of you would start building a tower if you figured you couldn't finish. None of you would try to build a tower if you thought it or if you knew it. You wouldn't start it. None of you would be foolish enough to start a war you knew you couldn't win, if you have any sense. What are you saying, Jesus? God has started something big. God knows in advance that he can finish. And he gives us that same consideration. He gives us enough information so that we can know to get on board and follow his Son. None of you would be foolish enough to start a war you knew you had no chance of winning. Now, if we know that as human beings, don't you think God knows that, who created the whole universe and created us? There is no failure in God, no matter how it may look. And we can just imagine how it looked with Jesus on his way. And when he got to Jerusalem being caught up and taken marching to Golgotha's hill. The crowd may not have known. Even his apostles may not have been aware that he's coming back in just a few days. There is no failure in God. Jesus did not wonder if he was going to make it. He didn't wonder about God's power. Jesus never spoke a word he had to retract, and he never took a step he had to retrace. He took opposition in stride. He's an example. He's a role model for us who are living in this century on planet Earth. Jesus did not wonder about God. Faith, trust in God. That's what Jesus had in his Father. And he made it. What are you saying, preacher? Faith and trust. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, faith and trust in God, you can make it home. No matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstances are. Just 2 days ago, we had the service of a saint who made her decision long time ago. I can make it by the grace of God. And my goal is to die in favor with God. Because I want to hear him say the final roundup of human affairs, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And notice here in this text, Luke 14, notice the calmness. Calmness at his trial. Notice the calmness in Jesus on his way to his cross. Luke chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. And there followed him a great company of people and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, watch this, turning unto them, said, "Daughters," isn't that kind of him? "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and weep for your children." Oh, church. Church, if we have a fraction of this kind of confidence, we can and we will make it safely home to hear our Father say, "Well done." Trusting in God. Doing the right thing, trusting in God. When you hit your bed, go to sleep. We can have peace of us in our soul when we walk with the Lord. Life is not all about us. It's all about God. And we are. Notice what I said. It's all about God, and we are GOD'S. Did you get it? It's all about God, and we belong to God. We are God's. So what? What worry? What challenge do we have? Oh, we sing the song to God's unchanging hand. We are his. We are in God's care. And he takes good care of us just like he takes good care of our brother, Jesus Christ. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. Our life is not about us. It is all about God and God's cause. He has a mansion, a robe, and a crown waiting for us if we remain faithful, loyal, committed, and dedicated. The purpose of the whole thing with God is to reverse the sentence that he put on humanity, starting with the first couple on planet Earth. A sea of faithful sons and daughters. Let me say that again. A sea of faithful sons and daughters can move mountains. A sea of children who image His Son, Jesus Christ. It will amaze you what that group of committed, dedicated sons of God can do. Others are saying, you can't do that. We are saying, yes, we can, by the grace of God. God has given us His best. No. Did you hear that? God has given us His best. What else can we do? What else can we do? But do what? Follow His example. Let us give God our best. It is foolhardy to depart from God's plan for your life individually, and it's foolhardy to depart from God's plans for your life. God has a life plan for all of us. Big time and forever. Think about it. Would you start something and you knew from the beginning you could not finish it? Would you start something and you knew from the beginning you could not win? You think God has that much sense? He does. God would not have started this world, created humanity, designed a method, sent His Son from heaven to put the finishing touches on His method to reconcile humanity to Himself, if He knew ahead of time He wouldn't be able to finish that task. God is going to win. And whether you know it or not, God is winning. God is not unwise. He is going to win no matter how you may think it's going to happen. No matter how much noise Satan's crowd makes, God would not have started this universe and all that in it is if He knew He could not win. God is omniscient, which means that He is what? All wise. God is omnipotent, which means that He is what? All powerful. And God is omnipresent, which means that He is what? Everywhere present. So no matter how it may look to your eyes, how it may seem to you, God and His children are going to win. And win it all. It would be foolish of you to begin a war that you knew you couldn't win. We see that a majority portion of this world is content to ignore God, to ignore His word. Maybe you are rather slack in your response to His plan for you and your life. Maybe even feeling sorry for God. Listen, feeling sorry or feeling pity for God, there are many things that God asks from human beings. But feeling sorry for Him is not one of them. Nowhere does God ask for our pity. God can take care of Himself. You think so? I know so. He created this whole wide world without any help from human beings. He designed humanity's salvation before the foundation of the world without our help. You see what happens when we jump in and try to help? We got a church here, and a church just there, church there, church everywhere, a different church. Our song is always, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The women wept, as we said heretofore, for Jesus on his way to his cross. Jesus says, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. Because he knew that his Father had, has, and will never have any unfinished business. God has no unfinished towers. There are no unwon wars on God's record. Did you hear me? We are encouraged to lose ourselves in the indestructible kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hold on and hold out. Our Bible shares with us in Acts chapter 15, known unto God are all things, even from the beginning of the world. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, for the word of God is what? It's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and there's a discerner of the what? Thoughts. And in the intent, hold it down. I'll take care of this. Seeing then, verse 14, seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed, are you listening? Into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Hold on, hold out, and hold on to the unchanging hand, to God's unchanging hand. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. Listen to that. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched. Isn't that something? This great God who has done all of this, as his dear children, we have a connection with that God. Verse 16, let us, therefore, do what? Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Make up your mind. No matter who falls by the wayside, no matter who turns about, no matter who quits, let us make up our mind. No. That's not the word. That's not the phrase. We've already done that. Let us remain steadfast. Yes, sir. Let us remain unmovable. And let us always abound in his will. Let us resolve, individually as well as collectively, I can do. Are you listening? You can wake up now. Let us resolve. Let us make up our mind permanently. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all of God's will by his grace, and I can be faithful unto death. Because of what so much of what we see about us many times, it causes us to have doubts as to who we are, whose we are, and the power and the ability that God gives his children to perform in ways that, I don't know how to know, but that baffles, I'll put it that way, onlookers. How do you all do that? How you do that? How can you handle? By the grace of God. Church, let us understand, let us realize who we are and whose we are and what we have as a result of being whose we are. Sons and daughters of God. Little wonder the writer said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who does what? Strengthens me. Let us live like, look like, and act like we are the sons and daughters of God. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Where are you tonight? Where dost thou sit? Without a particular asset, you can't please God. Without faith. Isn't that something? Faith! 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 Will bless us to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're just getting started. We're just getting started. And guess what? Well, why are you hesitating, Brother Brown? I'm hesitating because I want to say I ain't nowhere tired, but I know that ain't good English. Peace. Church, church, hold to God's unchanging hand. We can do what others may think can't be done. Why? Because of whose we are. Whose we are. Relish the glorious joy of being a child of God. Here, yes, we want it over there, but relish in it here. Live like it, act like it, talk like it. That we are sons and daughters of God. Do the unexpected that glorifies God. Why? And how? Without a doubt. But with faith, I can do this. I can handle this. I can deal with that by the grace of God. That was Jesus' attitude. He's on his way to his cross. But he didn't slow his step. He marched doggedly on in the pathway of duty, trusting, knowing when he went to the cross. I know my Father. I know my Father. In 3 days, I'll rise again. Let us act like, let me rephrase that, church. Let us continue to act like, talk like, and do like we are sons and daughters of God. Be role models. Not just for the one another, but be role models for the world. Amen. God bless you. I just believe in God, and I believe that you do too. We cannot be defeated as long as we hold to God's unchanging hand. If you're here tonight, you need prayer. Brother Brown, I need the church to pray for me that my faith might be increased. We gladly do that because we are workers, one another, and we are helpers, one of another. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you want to get on board and become an adopted child of God, Jesus Christ's brother or sister, come by believing with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Godly sorrowful for the things that you've done contrary to the will of God, call it repentance. Acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's confession. And be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. Doesn't matter what anybody say later on, God will forgive you of your sins. Add you to his family. The Church of Christ. And if you live according to his will, he'll invite you to come and live with he and his Son and all of the righteous in heaven on the other side. Whatever your choice, let us together stand. Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light.
It's me, oh Lord.
Harden not your heart.
Be saved,
oh, tonight. Oh, what? Not tonight. Oh, why not tonight?
Wilt thou be
saved? Then why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not, oh, why not tonight?
Remember this phrase. Very familiar. There is no failure in God. That'll take you through. Believing with all of your heart that there is no failure in God. Just hold to God's unchanging hand. God doesn't want his children worried. You're my child. Trust me. Hold on to what I've given you. I've told you all about what I've done in the past, what I've done for others. I can do for you. Are you there? Let us live like, act like, talk like we are servants of the Most High God, and that Jesus Christ is our elder brother in all matters, the ones we call big and the ones we call small. May God bless you. Go with God.